Chapter 2. The Jackson 11. You can't break the rules until you know how to play the game. Ricky Lee Jones. Before we go any further, I'd like to give you an overview of the basic principles of mindful leadership that I've evolved over the years to help transform disorganized teams into champions. You won't find any lofty management theories here. With leadership, as with most things in life, the best approach is always the simplest. 1. Lead from the inside out. Some coaches love to run with the lemmings. They spend an inordinate amount of time studying what other coaches are doing and trying out every flashy new technique to get an edge over their opponents. That kind of outside-in strategy might work in the short term if you have a forceful, charismatic personality. But it inevitably backfires when the players grow weary of being browbeaten and tune out, or even more likely, your opponents wise up and figure out a clever way to counter your latest move. I am anti-lemming by nature. Goes back to my childhood, when I was force-fed religious dogma by my parents, both Pentecostal ministers. I was expected to think and behave in a rigidly prescribed manner. As an adult, I've tried to break free from that early conditioning and develop a more open-minded, personally meaningful way of being in the world. For a long time, I believed I had to keep my personal beliefs separate from my professional life. In my quest to come to terms with my own spiritual yearning, I experimented with a wide range of ideas and practices, from Christian mysticism to Zen meditation and Native American rituals. Eventually, I arrived at a synthesis that felt authentic to me. And though at first I was worried that my players might find my unorthodox views a little wacky, as time went by, I discovered that the more I spoke from the heart, the more the players could hear me and benefit from what I'd gleaned. 2. Bench the ego. Once a reporter asked Bill Fitch, my coach at the University of North Dakota, whether dealing with difficult personalities gave him heartburn. And he replied, "I'm the one who gives people heartburn, not them." Fitch, who later became a successful NBA coach, represents one of the most common styles of coaching, the domineering, my way or the highway type of leader, which in Bill's case was tempered by his devilish sense of humor. The other classic type is the suck-up coach, who tries to mollify the stars on the team and be their best friend, a fool's exercise at best. I've taken a different tack. After years of experimenting, I discovered that the more I tried to exert power directly, the less powerful I became. I learned to dial back my ego and distribute power as widely as possible without surrendering final authority. Paradoxically, this approach strengthened my effectiveness, because it freed me to focus on my job as keeper of the team's vision. Some coaches insist on having the last word, but I always tried to foster an environment in which everyone played a leadership role, from the most unschooled rookie to the veteran superstar. If your primary objective is to bring the team into a state of harmony and oneness, it doesn't make sense for you to rigidly impose your authority. Dialing back the ego doesn't mean being a pushover. That's a lesson I learned from my mentor, former Knicks coach Red Holtzman, one of the most selfless leaders I've ever known. Once, when the team was flying out for a road trip, a player's boombox started blaring some heavy rock. Red went over to the guy and said, "Hey, do you have any Glenn Miller in your mix?" The guy looked at Red as if he were out of his mind. "Well, when you get some, you can play a little of my music and a little of yours. Otherwise, shut that damn thing off." Then Red sat down next to me and said, "You know, players have egos, but sometimes they forget that coaches have egos too." 3. Let each player discover his own destiny. One thing I've learned as a coach is that you can't force your will on people. If you want them to act differently, you need to inspire them to change themselves. Most players are used to letting their coach think for them. When they run into a problem on the court, they look nervously over at the sidelines, expecting coach to come up with an answer. Many coaches will gladly accommodate them, but not me. I've always been interested in getting players to think for themselves so that they can make difficult decisions.